had moved beyond a certain threshold, also erasing my fear, and all this had happened because I had enough surplus energy. Later that night, after we had returned from a trip into the surrounding mountains, which had been part of his teachings for the right side, Don Juan had me shift again into heightened awareness and then continued his explanation. He told me that in order to discuss the nature of the assemblage point, he had to start with the discussion of the first attention. He said that the new seers looked into the unnoticed ways in which the first attention functions, and as they tried to explain them to others, they devised an order for the truths about awareness. He assured me that not every seer is given to explaining. For example, his benefactor, the Nagual Julian, could not have cared less about explanations. But the Nagual Julian's benefactor, the Nagual Elias, whom Don Juan was fortunate enough to meet, did care. Between the Nagual Elias's detailed, lengthy explanations, the Nagual Julian's scanty ones, and his own personal seeing, Don Juan came to understand and to corroborate those truths. Don Juan explained that in order for our first attention to bring into focus the world that we perceive, it has to emphasize certain emanations selected from the narrow band of emanations where man's awareness is located. The discarded emanations are still within our reach but remain dormant, unknown to us, for the duration of our lives. The new seers call the emphasized emanations the right side, normal awareness, the tonal, this world, the known, the first attention. The average man calls it reality, rationality, common sense. The emphasized emanations compose a large portion of man's band of awareness, but a very small piece of the total spectrum of emanations present inside the cocoon of man. The disregarded emanations within man's band are thought of as a sort of preamble to the unknown proper consisting of the bulk of emanations which are not part of the human band and which are never emphasized. Seers call them the left side awareness, the Nagual, the other world, the unknown, the second attention. This process of emphasizing certain emanations, Don Juan went on, was discovered and practiced by the old seers. They realized that a Nagual man or a Nagual woman, by the fact that they have extra strength, can push the emphasis away from the usual emanations and make it shift to neighboring ones. That push is known as the Nagual's blow. Don Juan said that the shift was utilized by the old seers in practical ways to keep their apprentices in bondage. With that blow, they made their apprentices enter into a state of heightened, keenest, most impressionable awareness. While they were helplessly pliable, the old seers taught them aberrant techniques that made the apprentices into sinister men, just like their teachers. The new seers employ the same technique, but instead of using it for sordid purposes, they use it to guide their apprentices to learn about man's possibilities. Don Juan explained that the Nagual's blow has to be delivered on a precise spot, on the assemblage point, which varies minutely from person to person. Also, the blow has to be delivered by a Nagual who sees. He assured me that it is equally useless to have the strength of a Nagual and not see, as it is to see and not have the strength of a Nagual. In either case, the results are just blows. A seer could strike on the precise spot over and over without the strength to move awareness, and a non-seeing Nagual would not be able to strike the precise spot. He also said that the old seers discovered that the assemblage point is not in the physical body, but in the luminous shell, in the cocoon itself. The Nagual identifies that spot by its intense luminosity and pushes it rather than striking it. The force of the push creates a dent in the cocoon, and it is felt like a blow to the right shoulder blade, a blow that knocks all the air out of the lungs. Are there different types of dents? I asked.
There are only two types, he responded. One is a concavity, and the other is a crevice. Each has a distinct effect. The concavity is a temporary feature and produces a temporary shift, but the crevice is a profound and permanent feature of the cocoon and produces a permanent shift.
He explained that usually a luminous cocoon hardened by self-reflection is not affected at all by the Nagual's blow. Sometimes, however, the cocoon of man is very pliable, and the smallest force creates a bowl-like dent, ranging in size from a small depression to one that is a third the size of the total cocoon, or it creates a crevice that may run across the width of the egg-like shell, or along its length, making the cocoon look as if it had curled in on itself. Some luminous shells, after being dented, go back to their original shape instantly. Others remain dented for hours or even days at a time, but they revert back by themselves. Still others get a firm, impervious dent that requires another blow from the Nagual on a bordering area to restore the original shape of the luminous cocoon. And a few never lose their indentation once they get it. No matter how many blows they get from a Nagual, they never revert back to their egg-like shapes. Don Juan further said that the dent acts on the first attention by displacing the glow of awareness. The dent presses the emanations inside the luminous shell, and the seers witness how the first attention shifts its emphasis under the force of that pressure. The dent, by displacing the eagle's emanations inside the cocoon, makes the glow of awareness fall on other emanations from areas that are ordinarily inaccessible to the first attention. I asked him if the glow of awareness is seen only on the surface of the luminous cocoon. He didn't answer me right away. He seemed to immerse himself in thought. After perhaps 10 minutes, he answered my question. He said that normally, the glow of awareness is seen on the surface of the cocoon of all sentient beings. After man develops attention, however, the glow of awareness acquires depth. In other words, it is transmitted from the surface of the cocoon to quite a number of emanations inside the cocoon.
The old seers knew what they were doing when they handled awareness, he went on. They realized that by creating a dent in the cocoon of man, they could force the glow of awareness, since